This week, wanted to try this, doing the drive-in parking lot service, and we're Dennis has got us set up doing it on the radio frequency. We appreciate that. We're also trying to do it also live streaming for those that are at a home that they can watch it live as well. So we appreciate that. And if some in the parking lot are wanting to look at it that way as well, they can. But we'll also have it on video and recording after a while. For those who aren't able to come, they can see it later on if they want to also. But we still have a lot of requests. I'm not going to deal with a lot of those, but we still have a lot of requests of prayer. And we do need to pray for them, asking the Lord to help them, encourage them, and meet the needs of their hearts. Holly continues her treatment, asking the Lord to help there. Brenda still at Trinity Ridge, pray for her, asking the Lord to help her. Continue to pray for Nancy, asking God to meet the needs of her heart. She is wanting, if she can, to come home to her house. And they're in the process of trying to work all of that out. So you ask the Lord to help her and touch her. Betty Stamey will see the orthopedic doctor on Tuesday this week. So remember that. We are still having the Sunday school lessons online. So if you haven't watched those, Brandon did the adult lesson today. Did a fantastic job. So if you get a chance, watch that this evening. And Bolly did for the kids. So let your kids watch that one. I know it'll be a blessing. And we'll continue to do those also. So do keep these things in your prayers. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. It is a familiar story that I want to read. The first part, I guess, probably a little more familiar than the second part, but I'm reading the second part. The first part deals with Elijah by the brook Cherith. But I want to read, about Elijah at the widow's house. And so I'm going to pick up down in the 8th verse. 1 Kings 17 and verse number 8. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal and a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he in her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of all fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. That is reading our text. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, would you help us today as we look in your word? I ask you to speak to our hearts. Take these truths, O Lord, and touch us. Help us, O Father. Challenge our lives and strengthen our hearts. Father, you know who is listening today, and you know the very needs of everyone and of every heart. You know my heart. Somehow, God, touch us and give us liberty and unction today that we might honor your name and honor your word as only you can. Touch our church family and do your work in every need of every heart and of every home. We'll thank you and praise you for it all. In thy name we ask these things and pray. And amen. I'd like to preach today for a little bit, if I can, simply on this thought of tried brooks and depleted barrels. Tried brooks and depleted barrels. I'm going to get right on into the message and try to share some things. There's several things on my heart that is in the text today that I want to look at today. First of all, I want us to look today at the commitment of the servant. The commitment of the servant. I think about Elijah and the commitment that he had toward the Lord. And I said at the beginning that I'm not going to deal so much with the first part with him by the brook. But both stories tie together. So I want to just point out a couple of things. And then we're going to get into the main story that I read. In that first part, that first story, one thing that stands out in that story is the word there, because the Lord in verse 4 tells him to go down by the brook, and he said, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. There is an important part of both stories, because in both stories, it was important for Elijah to be there. There is where the blessings of the Lord was going to come. You'll find the word in the second story also, and I'll mention that in a little bit. But God told him to go there by the brook. That was where the ravens would feed him. But while he was there, suddenly the brook dried up. And I begin to think he was where God had told him to go. He was where God wanted him to be. But then there, the brook dried up. You know, we all have our dry brook experiences in life. We all have those times in our life that we are serving the Lord where God wants us to be, but then suddenly some difficulty, some trial of life comes in and challenges our faith in the Lord. Sometimes brooks do dry up. Sometimes things do change in our lives. At times, problems come. Relationships change in our lives. Sometimes our health changes. Sometimes a job will come to an end. Sometimes we find ourselves facing difficult and trying days. And we deal with problems that come unexpectedly in our lives and in our hearts. You know, we take so much for granted in our life. Here we are, just starting the month of May. And just a few short months ago, as this year started, every one of us took it for granted that here in May that we would be sitting on a Sunday morning in the house of the Lord. We took for granted, just like us any other Sunday, that we would come to church. We'd sit in church, hear Sunday school, hear preaching, and everything would be normal. But life has changed for us. For some of you, your work has changed. For some of you, things other than that have changed in your home life. We all know how things can suddenly change in our lives. And brooks can dry up. So what does Elijah do when the brook dries up? What happens next in his life? In the commitment of Elijah, he stays where he's at. He just remains faithful to the Lord. He doesn't go anywhere. He doesn't do anything. He waits to hear what God has to say. So what does God say? God speaks to him again down in 1:8. And the word of the Lord came unto him and saying. So the word comes, the Lord comes again. And he does. He speaks to you and I again. The thing for us to do is don't get in a hurry. Don't get in a hurry. Wait on the Lord to speak to our heart again. So the Lord speaks, but he speaks with an unusual command. So what does he say? Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon. So the Lord speaks to him again, and he says, arise and go to Zarephath. Now, I'm going to say a little more about Zarephath in a little bit and what it all means. But the Lord says, I want you to go to Zarephath. That is, in itself, an unusual command. You say, why? Because, for one thing, it was about 100 miles away across the desert to Sidon. It was in Jezebel's hometown. It was within maybe 8 miles of where Jezebel's father lived. So God is telling Elijah, I'm sending you to Jezebel's backyard, to where her father lives, just a handful of miles away. I want you to go there. An unusual command. Of all the places that God could send him, of all the places God would want him to go, God says, I want you to go to Zarephath in the land of Sidon. That's where I want you to go. But then God goes on and he says, and dwell there. He says, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. He said, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Another unusual part of it is that God didn't send him to a wealthy place, a wealthy woman to take care of him. But God says, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. You know, a widow woman, it was going to be considered the lowest of the lowest in society. She would have been the poorest of the poorest, especially in a time of drought. I mean, she was going to be one who was needing a hand out. She was going to be one that needed help herself. But God says, Elijah, I'm sending you to Jezebel's hometown, 100 miles away, across the desert, to a widow woman, and she is going to sustain thee. That word sustain, it means to fully maintain every need, to fully supply everything you're going to need. How unusual that God says, I'm going to send you there. You know, there are times in our lives that God gives us some unusual things to do. But listen, even in those unusual times in our lives, God has a plan and God has a purpose. And so often it is not only to help us, but at times it is also to be a blessing to somebody else. There have been so many times in my life that God has put me somewhere, sent me somewhere, did something in my life that not only helped me, but was a help to somebody else. And it was going to be that case for Elijah. God had something for him, but God was going to help this widow woman as well. So it was an unusual command, but notice the unquestioning commitment. It says that God told him to rise and go, and he says in verse 10, he arose and went to Zarephath. It didn't say that Elijah questioned anything about it. Didn't say that Elijah said, Lord, you know, is there not somewhere closer? Is there not somebody better? But it says that Elijah arose and went to Zarephath, an unquestioning commitment. But notice two words that I didn't point out earlier that I want to now. God said in verse 9, and dwell there. And dwell there. That means to stay, to remain, and endure. God was saying, I'm going to take you to Zarephath, and I'm going to leave you there for a while. I'm going to leave you there for a while. You know, most of us are okay for God to put us somewhere for a little while. Most of us are all right for God to leave us somewhere, maybe for a few days, a few weeks, and maybe we can even tough it out a few months. But we're not happy if God leaves us somewhere for a long period of time. But I ask you the question, what if God puts you someplace for a while? What if God puts you someplace? Now, let me say this, and I'm going to say more about it in a minute. That word Zarephath means the place of refining. What if God puts you in a place of refining for a while and says, I want you to dwell there? What if God puts you in a tough spot? What if God puts a difficult situation in your life and says, I'm going to leave you there for a while? What if God puts a physical disability on your life and says, I want you to dwell there for a while? What if God puts something in your life and says, I'm going to leave it there for a while? Sometimes the places of refining are demanding on us physically. Sometimes the places of refining are draining on us emotionally. Sometimes the places of refining are difficult for us spiritually. But sometimes that's where the Lord puts us. Sometimes God says, I want you to dwell there for a while. And that's where God put him. There's times we feel like saying, Lord, this is all too much. God, this is more than I think I can deal with. I would say this, there are situations that some of you right now are facing and dealing with and going through in your life that you say, Lord, this is tough. I don't know. I don't know that I can make it. I don't know that I can deal with it. But let me tell you, God, if He has you there, He has you there for a purpose, and He will get you through it. He got Elijah, the widow, and her son through this. And I will point all that out. And if God has you in the place of refining, He has a purpose, and He will get you through it. That leads me to the next thing. Not only the commitment of the servant, but notice the crucible of the sovereign. You see, as I was saying a moment ago, that's what Zarephath means. Zarephath means the place of refining. It means the crucible. It means the furnace, the melting pot. It was there that God was dealing with some things in Elijah's life. You say, what was it God was doing? For one thing, in Elijah's life, He was removing Elijah's pride. You say, how so? He was teaching Elijah humility. How much more humble would it take a man to get than for the prophet Elijah to have to submit to allowing a poor widow woman to take care of him? You know, there's just something that is ingrained into the nature of a man to want to take care of things. You know, I guess that was one of the things that I struggled with so much when I was dealing, you know, with my cancer and my sickness and dealing with recovering from surgery, that I couldn't do the things that I wanted to do for my family. When I, as a man, the head of the home, and I wanted to take care of the responsibilities of the family, and that made it so hard for me, because that's ingrained in the nature of a man to want to take care of things. A man wants to say, I got this, I've got it, I can take care of it. Even if you don't know that you can, you want to rise up and say, I can do this. Don't you know that was humbling for Elijah, for God to say, I've commanded a widow woman to take care of you there. God was taking the pride out of Elijah's life. You know, we want to take care of things. We want to feel like we're the ones calling the shots. We want to feel like we're the one in control. But sometimes God puts us in the place of refining to teach us He's the one in control. That we've got to depend on Him, and that we need Him at all times. So God was teaching him that he needed God. He was removing pride from Elijah's life. But it was also refining Elijah's person. You see, the Lord completely removed Elijah from his comfort zone. He took him completely out of the land of Israel and put him in the land of Phoenicia, in Gentile territory. He took him out of his comfort zone, completely out of his element. Took him out of his homeland, put him in enemy territory. You say, why? To test his faith in the Lord. Sometimes the Lord will strip away from us everything that we rely on, that we might fall completely on Him and trust Him with everything in our lives. I read the story one time about how a mother eagle treats her little eaglets. When a mother eagle hatches her eggs, her little baby eaglets, she'll make her nest as comfortable as she can. When she builds her nest, there are all kinds of sticks and twigs and all kinds of things that are in the nest. But then she'll take grass and moss and fur, and she'll line that nest and make it as comfortable as she can to give birth, to hatch the eggs for those little eaglets. And then when those eaglets are hatched and they're born, they're still in that comfortable nest. But as they grow, she knows that they can't live in the comfort of that nest on and on and on. So those little eaglets, they're happy to live there. Man, they've got it made. Mama Eagle, she'll go out and she'll get food and come and feed them. And they're living in the comfort of that soft nest. They're being fed their meals. So as they grow, that mother eagle, she'll start tearing that nest up. She'll toss out that fur. She'll toss out that moss. She'll toss out the grass. And all that's left are those sticks and those twigs. And it's suddenly what was so comfortable has become uncomfortable to those little eaglets. You say, why is she doing that? Does she not like them? No. She knows as long as they're living in the comfort of that nest, they'll never get out of the nest and they'll never learn to fly. Because little eaglets were not born to live in the nest. They were born to fly. So she makes it so uncomfortable that they'll get out of the nest and they'll learn to fly. You see, God treats us the same way. God at times will make life for us uncomfortable so that we'll learn to depend on Him and we'll learn to trust Him and we'll learn to soar like the eagles that we are as Christians. And that's what He's doing in the life of Elijah. So we see the commitment of the servant. We see the crucible of the sovereign. But thirdly, notice the confession of the widow. Elijah gets to Zarephath, and then he finds the widow, just like God says in verse 10. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and apparel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. You see, Elijah gets there, just as the Lord says, and he finds the widow woman. But there's a hidden condition that he didn't know anything about. You see, she was down to the last little bit in her barrel. As a matter of fact, that word handful, it means the palm of your hand. The palm of your hand. She says, that's all I've got left. She said, it isn't that I'm down to half a barrel. She said, all I've got's palmful, just a handful. She said, I don't have enough to make a cake of bread. All I've got's just enough. And she said, I'm gonna make just a little cake. I'm just gonna make and dress it for me and my son to eat it, and we're gonna die. That's all I've got. All I've got. You see, there was a hidden condition. There was a hidden condition. Elijah didn't know all about that, but God did. God did. Can I tell you, God knows the hidden conditions of our heart. Things that maybe we don't tell anybody else. God knows all about them. God knows the empty condition of your heart. There may be an emptiness you hadn't told anybody. God knows all about it. But there was that honest confession. She admitted it to the man of God. She admitted it. She told him, I'm not saying you need to admit anything to me. But there's times you just need to open up to God. Tell God all about it. You see, we pretend at times like we've got a running over barrel. At times we'll smile and we'll pretend like, man, we've got plenty. But God knows what's really in her heart. She admitted it. She said, I've only got a little bit. But notice her humble submission. Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." You may say, well, that was awful selfish on the part of Elijah. But you got to realize he was acting as God's spokesperson. He was asking on the part of God. It was God saying to her, "I want you to trust me by doing what Elijah is saying." You see, the whole thing was God was saying, "I want you to put me first and trust me." It wasn't a selfish part on the part of Elijah. It was a holy request on the part of God. God was saying, "Put me first. Put me first in your life." And notice the promise of verse 14. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel." This is what Elijah tells her. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." God tells her through the prophet Elijah, if you'll obey these words, if you'll do what the Lord says, then He'll take care of me and you and your son until rain comes on the earth. It was a test of her faith, a challenge of her faith to do what God says. Can I ask you a question today? Who's taking care of you? Who is it that's taking care of you? Are you taking care of you, or is God taking care of you today? Don't think for a moment today that it's your job taking care of you. And don't think for a moment that it's your monthly paycheck that's going to take care of you during these times. It's going to take God taking care of you and taking care of me. You see, there were people a month ago that had a good job and they don't have it now. There were people 2 months ago had a good paycheck and a steady job. And right now, they're signing up. And right now, they're trying to find a job again. I'm telling you something today, that God can take a job and God can give a job. God can bless money. And God can blow upon money and it be gone. God warned the children of Israel when they got into the land of Canaan. He was afraid when they got there that they would forget who it was that blessed them in getting there. And God told them in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17, He said, "And thou shalt say in thine heart," He warned them, He said, "And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth." So I ask you again, who's taking care of you? I want to tell you, it's not my paycheck. It's not my 401k. It's not my retirement account. It's not my ability to work or maintain a job or anything that's going to take care of me and meet my needs. It's God in heaven that's going to take care of us in these days. Oh, we don't need to get the idea, hey, I'm taking care of myself. I'm taking care of my family. It's going to take God taking care of us. Oh, they needed to realize in that day, and Elijah was saying that to her, God's the one that can bless that meal. And God's the one bless that oil. God's the one that can multiply it. I want to tell you, God can do it. He can bless those dollars in the bank account. God can bless that you have and make it last. He can do it. So notice the continuation of the barrel. In verse 15, it says, "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days." and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. You see, she gave obediently. She gave as God said to. Elijah obeyed without question, and she obeyed without understanding. I guarantee she didn't understand all of that. I guarantee she couldn't figure all that out, but she knew that's what God said to do, and that's what she did. We look at things, and no doubt she could have said, well, this is all I've got. All I've got's a little bit. But God says, if you'll take your little bit and let me have it, I'll bless it in ways that you can only imagine. And he still says that to you and I. If we'll just trust him, if we'll just put all that we have in his hands, he will bless in ways that we can only imagine. You see, she gave obediently, and God gave faithfully and amazingly back to her. It says, and they did eat, that she and he and her house did eat many days. From what we can understand, the idea is that they ate somewhere in between 1 and 2 years on what they had. It's the idea that every time that she went to the meal barrel and she stuck her hand in, that there was meal there. And every time she poured out of the cruse, that oil came out. And the next day, there was meal in the barrel. And the next day, there was oil in the cruse. And the next week, and the next week, and the next week, every time she went to the barrel, every time she went to the cruse, there was meal in the barrel, there was oil in the cruse. Until rain came on the earth. You say, preacher, do you think God can still bless like that today? Amen. I believe the same God that blessed in that day can bless in our day. God is still the same God. Even when it comes to dried crooks and depleted barrels, there's no match for the power of an almighty God. There came a day when God told Elijah, it's time to arise and go back and face Ahab. And whenever he left, this widow and her son had something they never had before in their life. She say, preacher, what'd they have? They had leftovers. They had leftovers. They had never had leftovers before. But they had leftovers. Because Elijah was gone. And they had leftovers. You say, preacher, what are you saying? God can bless abundantly. God can bless abundantly. And I want to say this in closing to you today. I don't know what all you're facing. I don't know what all you're going through. What all you're dealing with. These are trying times for so many. But I want to tell you, we're serving a great God, an almighty God, an all-powerful God. But I want to tell you something to remember. For one thing, God's still God in days of crisis. It doesn't change God. He's still God in days of crisis. But secondly, God is always faithful. In times of crisis, he's always faithful. Thirdly, God is always in control in times of crisis. There's never a time that God's out of control. But then lastly, that God desires commitment in our hearts toward him, even in days of crisis. There are some folk that seems like when you're down, scraping the bottom of the barrel and you don't know what to do. Still trust him. He's still God. He's still God. Keep leaning on him. Keep trusting him. He'll never fail. He'll never fail. Thank God he's still God. I'm glad he is. I'm glad I'm serving an awesome God, mighty God, powerful God. Just keep leaning on Him. Thank God He loves us, cares for us. He knows our needs. I'm glad I'm one of His little children. To God, He knew where a little widow woman in a Gentile territory in a time of drought. God that knew where she was and was going to take care of her. He knows where you're at today and He knows where I'm at today. And He'll take care of us till we get home. Thank God that He will. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I thank You today for just the privilege to share Your Word today with Your children. I ask that You'd take it, Father, seal it to our hearts. Help us to trust You, to lean on You. Father, through these days, we long for the day that we'll all gather in Your house, Father, not in cars, not in homes, and not listening, Father, by other means, but we'll gather in Your house, fellowship together around the house of God and the things of God, worshiping and honoring You. Father, may it be soon, and we trust it to Your hands. Father, You know the needs of all of our church family today. Encourage every need and meet every need by Your power, touching every home and every family. Father, we'll thank You for it. Keep everyone safe on their way home and meet with us the next appointed time. We'll give You the glory and the honor for it all. In Jesus' name, we ask these things and humbly pray. Amen. Amen.